Please excuse my unkempt appearance. I'm referring to this stubble. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider long hair and beards objectionable. That was in relation to Sanatana Goswami having just escaped from prison and looking like a Muslim mendicant, a Daravesh, or a fakir. Srila Prabhupada said that for men, his followers, he wanted them to shave at least once a month, or at least once 15 days. I generally shave every 15 days, but I've been sick and I haven't been doing much of anything, let alone shaving. Hopefully by the time this recording is published, I'll be up and dancing in the kirtan again. But this unsightly sight of stubble, of course some people might think it looks nice. Srila Prabhupada didn't. This hair business, it's such a big business in the Western world especially. Everywhere people are to some extent defined by their hairstyle. It's used to be pretty much worldwide considered proper that women have long hair and men may have various hairstyles. Brahmanas had to keep, previously traditional Brahmanas in India had to keep a shikhar. Sadhus, often it's considered the distinguishing mark of a sadhu to have a beard with long hair. Muslims, men are supposed to have beards, preferably without a mustache. Srila Prabhupada commented once that he had read before he came to the West, Srimad Bhagavatam states, Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam, that people in Kali Yuga will think that they're very beautiful by keeping hair. And Srila Prabhupada said that he didn't understand what that meant until he came to the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada came in the middle of hippiedom, the hippie so-called revolution in which so many young men had long hair. If you ever go to California, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair. And they have long hair and bandanas, and that was a sign of their being a hippie. On the other hand, in England, when I was growing up, there were the hippies with long hair and the skinheads. They're also defined by their hair, having short hair, not fully shaved, but very, very short. People define themselves so much by their appearance, of which hairstyle is such an important thing. Here in India, even in the villages, we see young men have some kind of fashionable hairstyle. I don't know where it comes from, maybe from Indian cinema, maybe from, I really don't know where they get it from, but there's some kind of fashion which people didn't have usually. So far in India, we didn't see punk hairstyles, which is really, whoa, to me, looks strange. In the 1970s, walking in the streets of the Western world, or dancing in the streets with shaved heads and a shikhar, was something quite sensational. But after I left England to come and live in India, in the 1980s, the punks came up, and after that, devotees looked pretty staid, I guess, with their shaved heads and shikhas. So much talk about hair, 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 hair. There was a movie called Hair that was in the 1960s, running in London, where at the end, all the members of the audience would take off all their clothes and chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think that was the tune. It was showing off their hair. Quite crude, but anyway, one way or another, the Hare Krishna mantra got publicized. When I joined the movement in 1975, we often used to hear that hair is just like stool. Stool is a word used in Indian English to mean what is called in the Western world feces, poop, or less respectable terms. There are various terms, not very, that's probably in every language, they have some slang words or vulgar words for stool. Generally in ISKCON we call it stool, which, picking that up from Srila Prabhupada. It might seem that devotees have an inordinate interest in stool. That's called being scatological. But devotees do talk about it a lot. At least they used to. To demonstrate the position of the body. What is this body? Sharira Vidyajal. It is a network of ignorance. It is filled with all nasty things. Stool's pretty nasty. I remember in Bangladesh in the 1980s, one vivid memory, going in the heat of the day, it's already hot, going in a tin shed box, corrugated iron box of a latrine, which outside it was already hot, inside was extremely hot. And the latrine, you could find it by smell from quite some distance, because it basically consisted of something like a large bucket which people pooped into. The normal village system is just go in the field, but somehow they'd become more advanced and they had this latrine, and it stunk, it was hot, there were so many flies buzzing all around, and all the stool was as if moving with unlimited maggots who were enjoying being worms in stool, enjoying themselves. So when we learned, as we'd often heard when I joined the movement, that hair is just another form of stool, what does that mean? Well, when we eat food, we drink liquids, we breathe air, and all this by the incredible arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this converts into muscle, fat, chyle, bile, stool, urine, hair, and so many other things. So as a byproduct of the body, hair can be considered like stool. Of course, stool is something not very pleasant, whereas hair can be considered pleasant. Hair styling makes a man or a woman look better than if they just have some rough, unkempt hair. There are so many shampoos, hair conditioners, so many things to try to make the hair look nice. But the point that was being emphasized when I joined especially, that was probably because most devotees came from a hippie background, and for them it was a big attachment. They'd spend years growing their hair and now they had to cut it all off. So that was a big thing for so many devotees, and as if to negate their hippie background, they spoke disparagingly about hair being just like Stu. By the way, when I joined, I didn't have long hair. I mean, not like hippie style anyway. I did way back, but I cut it off long before I joined the movement. Anyway, so hair, stool, stool, yeah, thinking about stool. I don't have a stinky toilet here. Like I say, for most people in the village, the toilet is the field or the side of the road. Just go and poop, let it out. But I have here a little latrine, not with running water, there's no running water, but just I poop there and throw some ashes, and plenty of ashes because cooking here is done on firewood. There's plenty of firewood. We're in a forest region, so you can get firewood very easily. So plenty of ashes. Just throw some ashes on it, and by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, that stops any bad smell coming, stops any flies coming, and gradually, I suppose, it all composts, and eventually that could all be taken out and used for compost, for fertilizer. Now, why am I talking about this? Well, I had some little realization looking at what is now, after a few weeks of being here, quite a big pile of stool. And I was thinking, that is my separated material energy. That is what comes out of the body, which so much trouble goes into maintaining it, trying to make it look nice, eating, ingesting various foods and medicines and so many things. And that's it. That is my separated material energy. And at some point, the spiritual energy is going to separate from this bag of bones. Often people tell me, oh, it's my birthday today. And then I ask them, well, how old is your bag of bones? How much closer are you to death? What is this body? It's stool, pus, urine, so many nasty things. I hope you're enjoying this delightful spiritual talk, talking about stool and urine. I didn't mention urine. Stool, urine, pus, blood, bile, chyle, muscle, so many nasty things. And it's all in a bag of skin, which looks fairly nice, although this bag of skin is over 66 years old now and it doesn't look so nice. What's all this got to do with spiritual life? The answer is nothing. Then why are we talking about it? That is the point. Because the body is not spirit, we should talk about these things. It is the language of Shastra. Shastra teaches about the highest spiritual love. But it also talks about the nature of this material world. We find Rukmini Devi speaking to Krishna in very much the same kind of language which I have repeated here. She says that any woman who wants to take shelter of a man other than you, what's she doing? She becomes attached to a body which is simply full of all nasty things, covered with some skin and hair and mustaches. This is the language of Shastra to bring home to us the point that we are not the body. We need to be reminded, because it seems that we are the body, and every little being, there are little beings wandering around here. So many flies and bugs, apart from the regular flies and mosquitoes. There are so many different flies and bugs flying all around. There was one, at least one bug on this garland. That bug is very attached to a body. How do I know it's very attached to the body? Well, every living being is very attached to the body. In Mahabharata is a story of one worm seeing a chariot coming on the path where the worm was crawling. The worm was frantically trying to get out of the way. And someone spoke and said, laughed and said, "See that worm, he's so intent on maintaining his body." And then the worm spoke back and said, "Yes, it's a fact, because I'm materially conditioned. I'm in the body of a worm. I was a rishi in a previous life. Now I'm in this body. Now I'm attached to this body." So it is good to discuss, to reflect on the fact that this body is composed of all kinds of nasty things. But we are not the body. We are spiritual beings. Don't be attached. To some extent we have to be attached to the body to keep it fit for cultivating spiritual knowledge, Krishna consciousness. Shariramadhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. Poet Kalidas says that all our activities of dharma depend on the body. Well, that's true for most of us until we rise to a platform above bodily consciousness, above bodily identification. In the meantime, it is useful to reflect on that pile of stool. Even when we get sick, it's an impediment in our activities in Krishna consciousness. But it's a reminder that the body is meant for suffering. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Birth, death, old age and disease are the basic four sufferings in material existence. But we are not meant for that. We are meant for amritatvaya kalpate, a person who is not disturbed in adverse conditions. Yang hinavyatantyate purushang purusharshaba sama sukha dukham dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. At the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, very near the beginning, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that a person who is not disturbed by distress and happiness, which he's just defined or contextualized with respect to the material body, a person who is not disturbed by this is eligible for amrita, liberation, going beyond death, nectar. So yes, let's talk about nectar. Krishna dancing with the gopis, nectar. But let us remember, we are not the body. We're not that big pile of stool. We're not that body lying, groaning, having a difficulty breathing, shivering in pain. That's not me. I am not the body. You are not the body. We're spiritual living beings. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Separated material energy, we're always separate from the material energy. We have nothing to do with it. Let us remember this. A little reminder as we go to evacuate every day. Mancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya chunakam padiyo nipatya kritva chakakushatam etad aham bravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad gauranga chandra charane kurutana rana. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vichayama. Hari rasa madhira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvisha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.